Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, Florida has no personal income tax and no inheritance tax, unlike New York and other states. Recently in the news, President Trump, along with Congress, wants to make changes in the tax codes and eliminate federal inheritance tax. But what if money in the estate was tax deferred, such as under an IRA or a KEO plan? Or what will happen to my business after I die? Death and taxes do go hand in hand. And today, from the law firm of Friedman & Frost, is Erwin Frost, who is board certified in taxation, also is a CPA, and has a LLM degree, a master's in tax law. Erwin Frost, being board certified, is an expert in the areas of taxation and specializes within estate planning. I'd like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Mr. Bell, how are you this fine day?
I am just fine.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, and filling in for Michael Santucci is his partner of Santucci Priori, Joe Priori. I messed up your last name, didn't I?
Pretty good, Phil. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, I think, you know, how much we do appreciate you filling in for Mike. Mike's daughter's, I guess, having her birthday.
Yes, it's my pleasure. And a happy birthday, Valentina.
Absolutely. As I stated in the opening of the program, death and taxes do go hand in hand. I'd like to welcome Erwin Frost. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Erwin, you like to be called Irv.
I do. Yeah.
Very good. And that's I enjoy calling you Irv as well.
Thank you.
Yep. And you're from the firm of Friedman and Frost. And, you know, there's so many issues within the proposed tax changes. Recently, we discussed the issue of eliminating inheritance tax, but that's not going to affect very many people.
Well, the estate tax. Inheritance,
I'm sorry, estate tax.
The inheritance tax is a misnomer. The inheritance tax would be a tax on receiving wealth from someone that died. And estate tax is really what the federal tax is. It's a tax on dying with wealth and the privilege of passing it along and transferring it, and that's how it's taxed. So there's been a lot of talk of late. Trump has floated some proposed, you know, trial balloons, including the elimination of the estate tax. That's, you know, that's good and bad depending on who's asking.
Right.
But the estate tax, in fact, with the large exemptions that were put into effect during Obama's term, it doesn't affect many people. Maybe 0.2% of all people that die have to file an estate tax return and pay the estate tax. So it's a very small number, maybe 7,000-8,000 tax returns a year. But it does have an impact.
As I mentioned at the opening, what if the money in an estate was tax deferred, such as under an IRA or 401 or 403 or the KEO plan? that money will be taxable as it's drawn out, depending, of course, how the plan was set up and who receives it.
So that what you're speaking of is an income tax. So when you if you put money aside in an IRA and taken a deduction or a 401k or even a 403b, that's income tax deferred. And when you take the money out, either in retirement or otherwise, you will pay an income tax on a pro rata portion of what was deferred. And that can also become to, that could also be an estate asset when you die. So the that asset may be part of what might be a taxable estate for estate tax purposes, and the recipient of the money that's in the IRA or the 401k or what have you will also pay income tax on it when it comes out.
So, Irv, let me ask you this. Taxes are confusing. What's the difference between a tax attorney and a public accountant?
Well, an accountant will deal with books and records and making sure that statements are properly presented.
Okay.
So that people like a bank or an investor can rely upon them. A tax, unfortunately, is the cost of living in a country that, that derives its income from taxing its citizens. And so a tax attorney will help you not only determine what your taxes are, but determine ways, as I do, to prevent paying tax. So I do tax planning. I don't really do tax returns.
So it's more of a planning thing. What about litigation? Like
Litigation's a whole other area of tax attorneys. Usually if I get involved in something that's going to be tax litigation, I'll actually call a friend that was with the IRS and has had long experience with that.
So your job is to avoid it.
My job is to avoid it and plan for it. So I don't have a busy season the first quarter of the year. My busy season is all through the year, maybe the last part of the year.
And is that different from asset protection?
No, asset protection can be a completely separate thing. When you're planning for taxes, you're also planning to minimize the cost on your assets. But in asset protection, there's lots of need to protect your assets from potential creditors, legitimate ways to protect your assets. And Florida is a debtor-friendly state. We have lots of built-in into our statutes protections of assets that are protected from the reach of creditors, your IRAs, your 401ks, annuities, insurance, 529 plans for college. Those are all protected by statute, as well as if you're married, tenancy by the entireties with your spouse. Those are all good ways to protect your assets, as well as doing business in a corporate form or a limited liability company.
Now, does this tie in with estate planning?
It can, and as a matter of fact, I hardly ever will sit down with someone that's doing estate planning where I don't speak to them as well about asset protection. I had a lovely older couple in my office today. They came in, they had their list of assets, and they had their homestead, which is also protected from creditors, and they had a home, a rental home, a vacation home in Massachusetts. And so not only do I need to help them protect it from an ancillary administration or another administration in Massachusetts and the tax in Massachusetts, but that's susceptible to creditors. And if someone had an injury or slip and fall in that house or something, that asset is at risk as well as other assets because they didn't properly protect it inside an entity.
Huh. So is this the type of thing that only citizens need to worry about, or do residents need to worry about it too, people who are living here but not, American citizens? They have issues with this?
A non-citizen, let's say a green card holder, mm-hmm. can certainly be doing business in this country, and they're just as susceptible to a creditor claim as anybody that's a citizen otherwise. So they should be doing their business properly, whether through entities or what have you, and protecting whatever assets they have, assuming they're here legally. We're talking about green card holders or something like that.
What about non-resident aliens that own property in Florida? They also have tax consequences?
Yes, and actually sometimes from an estate tax consequence, it could
be
dramatically worse.
Huh.
The exemption that Americans or citizens enjoy from estate taxes, which this year, it's indexed for inflation, this year is $5,490,000 lifetime exemption, a foreigner is only entitled to $60,000. So oftentimes a foreigner will come here, they don't know better, they get some real estate person that helps them buy a property, they'll take it in their own names, and then if they die, they have an estate and must pay the estate tax on the value of that asset over $60,000. It's quite shocking.
Wow, that's only $60,000.
Only $60,000.
Wow, a follow-up to that, and I have one more follow-up, Phil, and I'll give it back to you. But what about, here we have so many snowbirds. I mean, do Canadians have special, that are just here for the winter, do they have special considerations?
They have no special privilege.
None? There's no tax treaty or anything?
No. Well, there are tax treaties.
Sure.
But as far as that estate tax goes, that since the asset is here, the
60,000.
It's 60,000. It's just the same as when you went into Canada. The Canadian tax laws would apply in there.
So almost any house they're going to own.
Yes, and those, you know,
so they have a major structuring need.
Those houses should be in some kind of an entity, and unfortunately, sometimes they run into resistance if they buy a condominium and the condominium doesn't want a foreign corporation or whatever it happens to be that they want to use.
And not only that, I know with limited liability companies get treated very, very poorly in Canada for tax purposes, so they're limited into what type of corporate entities, I believe, right?
And that's an issue. They need to see counsel when they come.
Now, one of the questions that comes up, I'm going to pick your brain while you're here a lot in my practice. If a parent, let's say, is given a 200 grand to their kid to buy their starter home, does the kid, let's say they're citizens, does the kid have to worry about paying income tax on that gift?
No, fortunately, the way our system works, the recipient of a gift pays no gift tax or income tax. The giver has a consequence or not, depending on whether or not they've used up their exemption. If they had used up their entire $5,490,000 exemption, then there would be a tax on the privilege of making a gift at 40%.
40%, but only when you get past that lifetime.
That's right, and actually there's also a $14,000 annual freebie, an exclusion.
Even above that.
Before you even get to the the tax. The first
If they're not zillionaires or six millionaires, I guess, there's no real worry there.
No, if they haven't exceeded that exemption limit, then they're fine with there's no tax when they make the gift. There's no tax to the recipient.
That's great. 'Cause that's one of the questions I get all the time. You know what I always tell them? Talk to your accountant or tax lawyer.
There you go.
But Irv, under most circumstances, property that's been held for a period of time has increased in value. So let's say if my mom bought a stock at $1 in 1970, but now it's worth $100 this year when she died in 2012. If I inherited this stock and I sell it, do I have to pay income tax on it?
Well, it depends on what you sell it for. But the corollary to an estate tax in our system is what we call stepped-up basis. In other words, since the value of that asset at $100 would be valued in her mother's estate for estate tax purposes, whether she pays tax or not, then when it passes out to the ultimate beneficiary, you in this case, you would get a new or stepped-up income tax basis to the current basis of $100. If you then sold it for $100, you'd have no tax. If you sold it for $110, you'd pay tax on the $10. And so that might disappear if under the proposals of changing and eliminating the estate tax, such that when you got an asset from an estate, you might get the carryover basis or the income tax basis that your mother had, or the dollar in your example, and then you'd be paying the tax at the higher rates on the difference.
Well, let me, you know, going back to this whole $60,000 thing, I know one of the tools you folks use are ILITs, Life Insurance Trust. Is that something a non-resident can use to defer the estate or to help pay for the estate tax if you're a non-resident?
Well, look, the purpose of an ILIT is to buy insurance and not have the insurance included in the taxable estate of the person that that dies. And so an ILIT, it would work just as well for a foreigner in this case.
So anyone, that's good news. So you're probably using that. Do you deal with a lot of NRAs in your practice?
And they come and go, and sometimes yes, sometimes no.
All right, I think Joe has a question.
Irv, the word probate, I think in general for the public, they think that that's a bad word. Can you talk a little bit about what probate is, how it works, and should the public be afraid of that word and that process?
Well, so sure. So probate actually means to prove. And so what happens in probate is the first thing that you're doing is proving the will, or if there is no will, that there isn't one. But you're proving the will of the decedent, and the probate process is not a scary process. Unfortunately, some of the courts are a little slow, so it takes some time. But the whole idea is to gather up the assets of the decedent. We call that mustering. Pay any bills, you know, funeral costs, or what have you. Make sure that all the creditors are paid. Notify the creditors directly or by publication. And when all that is done, we then make sure that the assets go where the decedent wanted them to, either by will, if failing or having a will, by the laws of the state will say where the assets go. So it's not a terrible process. There are a lot of attorneys that have scared people that it's you're gonna live through probate hell, and it's gonna cost you a fortune, and everybody's gonna know your business. Probate is by statute private. You know that nobody can necessarily find out what's in your probate estate. Sometimes having a judge who's independent of the process can be far better in controlling the process than going through a trust or something of that nature. So it's not a bad thing per se.
Great. Thank you.
You know, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're speaking with Irwin Frost. Likes to be called Irv, right?
Yes, thanks.
That's what I'm going to call you. And you're from the law firm of Friedman and Frost. And we're talking about tax issues regarding estates. And I'm going to leave it off with a little cliffhanger. What about income, Irv, that's received by the estate, you know, that's passed on to the heirs or beneficiaries that may be taxable? And the example is, the estate inherits property that is rented during the probate, and that rent is paid to the heirs. Would income tax apply? We're going to be coming right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
We on Facebook, Phil?
We are on right. Facebook Live today and every Thursday. That's sweet. Right. We have hundreds of followers and
thousands. Growing
thousands,
by the minute.
I'm telling you. You know, in leaving off with Irv Frost, and we're talking about taxes and estates. And in general, the rule is that if the money would have been taxable if the person who died, it's taxable now to the person who inherits it. Is that a truism?
Well, to go back to the question that you led off with at the break, you know, the estate itself is a taxpayer. And unfortunately, the estate will go through the tax brackets much quicker than an individual would. In other words, it doesn't take much income for the estate to have a lot of tax or higher bracket rate, unless it distributes the income to the beneficiaries. So an estate can distribute the money out to the beneficiaries. The estate will get a deduction for the money that's distributed out, and then the recipients will get their share of the income, and they'll pay tax on whatever their brackets are, which could be considerably lower.
So an estate may file a federal income tax return?
And required to. If it's more than $100 of income, I think is the cutoff, they are required to file an estate tax income tax return, as well as the last income tax return for the decedent.
What are the major exceptions, then, if any?
Other than the low income, if there's no income, there's no reason to file it.
But right.
Otherwise, they have to file the return.
Well, save a copy for your title company because they're going to want it.
Yeah, absolutely. Advance directives, living wills, things along those lines are very important
for
as
sure.
Well. But before we get into that, I really want to talk about trust and the different types of trust that you would advise your clients, and it all depends on their situation.
Of course.
And first of all, what is an irrevocable trust?
So it is what it says. It's a trust that you cannot change or revoke. Once you've set it up, that's it. It's permanent, and it becomes a new taxpayer. An irrevocable or irrevocable trust will get its own tax ID, and because it's its own taxpayer, it pays taxes, and we use them for various reasons. Asset protection is one, but oftentimes we use them for estate tax savings and planning. So, for instance, we might transfer an asset to an irrevocable trust for various beneficiaries in order to protect the value for the beneficiaries, maybe the kids, and hoping for moving that asset out of the estate of the person that owns it now early before it grows in value. It's very useful, something that's going to appreciate quickly.
But what if they're? I'm sorry, Phil. Just to follow up that, what if it's? So if the person's worth $10 million now and they're throwing, you know, an amount higher than what their estate tax, does that get around it, or does it get taxed now?
When you make a transfer to an irrevocable trust, it is generally treated as a present gift.
Okay.
We have differences that we can play with, but you can treat it as a transfer now, and it will be a present gift. It will use up some of the exemption of the person that's transferring it. Whether they've exceeded their exemption or not will determine whether it's estate taxable. There actually, it allows for a technique, which is one of the best things around for estate planning. You can treat an irrevocable trust as if you own it. And we have a way to actually turn that on and off. We call that a grantor trust for income tax purposes. And so you can not only transfer the asset and its future appreciation to whoever's going to benefit from it, but you can pay the income tax that it draws for the gains it may be making. And that extra gift, the paying of the taxes for the beneficiaries, is not considered a taxable gift.
Oh, that's great.
So it's very useful.
Yeah, so typically you're going to want an appreciating legacy asset.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
And even a business asset. And in fact, if you can...
Business asset, really.
And if you can transfer a percentage interest in something that may draw a discount when you transfer it, a minority discount or what have you, that makes it even that much more better.
Could the grantor – I'm so sorry, Phil. It's just so interesting.
It is.
Apologize. Can the grantor still run the business and draw a salary if they transfer it?
Sure. Absolutely.
Ah, that's great.
So you've explained what an irrevocable trust is, but a two-part question. What is a revocable trust, and how does a revocable trust avoid probate?
Okay. So a revocable trust is one that you can change at any time, minute by minute, however you choose to, or you can just terminate it. That's what revocable means. And it doesn't avoid taxes. I'll tell you that off the top. It's the grantor of a revocable trust is treated as the owner for all purposes. In fact, you don't even need to get a separate taxpayer ID number for it. What it can do is help to avoid probate for the assets that you actually follow through to transfer into the revocable trust. The theory is those assets are not part of the probate estate. They don't go through probate. They have to be available to the creditors of the decedent. So you can't avoid creditors by putting assets into a revocable trust. And the best thing about a revocable trust is often missed. And that is that assets that go in there can be managed by a successor trustee once the original grantor or the owner transfers their assets to it and are no longer capable of managing their own assets without the need to have a guardian appointed. I had some very nice folks in my office today. They paid some lawyer for a revocable trust for each of them 8 years ago. And I asked, do you have an account for this trust? No. Do you have any assets? No. So they don't have the benefit of that.
You have no idea how bad that is.
Well, and then unfortunately
crazy.
I see it more often than not. That trust will be a good a will substitute, but they didn't need it. They could have just left it in the will. The best part about a revocable trust for someone that's worried about incompetency or they're getting older or they're sick or whatever is the ability to have somebody else manage their assets and take over when they're not able without going through the misery of a guardianship.
Yeah, there's a lot good about them, but it's, you know, we deal with a revocable trust in my real estate practice, obviously, a lot. And you see them where they have this great document. It's a beauty. And no one transferred any property
into it.
You have this wonderful work of art that's completely useless and a waste of money because they didn't take that next step of doing it. But you see a lot of that, huh?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
all
that's
the time.
Crazy.
And, of course, then there's special needs trust in it, like revocable or irrevocable. It's the name what it is.
It is, that's right.
Anything you can do better with a trust. They're awesome.
Should I trust you on that?
Trust me on that.
And that has become the mantra of many trust and estates lawyers, and it's mostly for creditor protection. You put assets in a irrevocable trust for the benefit of children or grandchildren and make it so that they can't get it unless it's at the discretion of the trustee, then their creditors can't get it. their wives, their divorcing spouses, whatever it happens to be. And so a lot of attorneys like me recommend long-term trusts.
I can't say enough, too, with trusts, you know, that any foreigner owning real property in Florida needs to talk to someone like you.
And finally, there's so many advantages to redoing your estate plan here in the state of Florida, especially for those who come from around the country, like in New York. They have estate taxes.
For sure, very high estate taxes.
Yes, they do. And the final question I have is, can the trust hold title to my homestead?
It can. A revocable trust, if that's what you're speaking to. A revocable trust can own your homestead. You don't lose the homestead protection from creditors, nor do you lose the homestead exemption on your real estate taxes. And so it's a good idea, again, if you're worried about being able to transfer the homestead when someone's no longer capable of doing so.
You have such a dynamic practice. I mean, we've only touched the surface that you deal with, and not one size fits all, obviously. You work at all levels.
Of course.
And whether you're a young family and you need the protection or you've been around for generations and you need to keep things in order, real quick, when should somebody look into their wills, trusts, and estates after it's been set up?
Oh, I recommend they look at least once a year, or if there's been any major change in their life, whether they have a new birth, someone dies, they get changed their wealth, they change their job. It's always good to take a look again.
Yeah.
And if our listeners have questions for you, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they'd call my office, 305-374-3001. We have a website, friedmanfrost.com, and I'm happy to speak to them. And the consultations are free at first.
Yep. Ah, fantastic.
And you're from my hometown, Chicago, and you know good pizza.
I sure do. Good thick
man. He's been to New York?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, as always, it goes too quick. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening and remind them to always
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.